Yesterday night I put before you what is spirituality. So spirituality is to know the spirit in man and your spirit overhead. For that, it is basic teaching given by all masters who came in the past. Those who ever met them, they gave them a demonstration of who we are, what we are. All masters, whether of the East or the West, both, first thing they gave out was, man know thyself. We are who we are conscious entities. We are in soul bodies. We have got body, we have got intellect, we have got outward faculties. But to know ourselves, we will have to divest ourselves of all outgoing faculties. Yes.
Separate these a little bit so we can raise all the volume.
All right. So knowing oneself means a matter of self-analysis. How to liberate ourselves from mind, outgoing faculty. As I explained to you last night, that we are conscious entities under the control of mind, mind under the control of outgoing faculty, and outgoing faculty are derived like anything from the outer enjoyment. We are conscious entities, but identified with the mind, outgoing faculty, body and the world around us, so much so that we are forgotten. So spirituality means we dying our conscious self from the mind, outgoing faculties and body and all around us. It is a matter of pure self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, knowing oneself that we are carrying the factory of the man body. So the outer expression of the soul is called attention. These different departments of the body, which are sight, hear, hearing, touch, taste and smell. These only work when our attention is with them. So if we draw our attention from these, with our open eyes we cannot see, with ears open we cannot hear. When we eat also, when your attention is absorbed in something else, you don't feel any taste. So spirituality is the conscious knowing about the conscious self, which is driving this whole machinery of the body and its different departments. That is to know oneself. Social bodies came to being, as I told you, when the masters left the scene to keep their teachings alive. So social bodies came into being. So long as they are made with a very noble purpose, so that many people may derive benefit, so long as the practical people were there, people were able to derive full benefit of knowing oneself, and also that old self which keeps us in the body controlled, and that power which controls all the universe. For want of practical people, the same good old custom terminated, deterioration pattern. We forgot we are what we are. So we reach to the conclusion that spirituality is not bearing the different labels on the man body. We show in which school you are learning to know oneself and to know God by self-analysis. So it is the basic teachings of all masters. When the society came into being, naturally God had to make how the society can be run without laws. The difference in the outer forms of religion is due to either narrow-mindedness, bigotry, or pragmatic influences, or the customs prevailing. I'll explain all this to you last night. Now the question arises, we need teachers in any subject we want to follow. You follow that the true education of the child commences from there, from the womb of the mother. Whatever thoughts of the mother are, they are impressed in the child in the womb. Then comes when he comes out of his womb, then parents, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters teach the child, their teacher. When they grow old, school teachers come up to train them, to teach them. All in the outer subjects which relate to the outward faculties, mind and intellect, there we need somebody to guide us, those who are adept in that line. If man wants to be a wrestler, he will go to the feet of a wrestler. If a man wants to be educated, higher studies, he will go to a teacher. Similarly, any subject that you have to take, we need somebody adept in that line. Similarly, all these subjects which I refer to relate to the outgoing faculties or body or intellect. Then we do need someone to guide us on the way. But in the way where all philosophies and where the religion starts. I submitted you last night, the word religion means bring it back, leisure to bind. To bind back our soul by withdrawing from outside and contacting the controlling power which is called God into special power within our own self. This is a subject where also we need somebody. We will adapt that way. Call it by any name you like. When outer pursuits, we do need somebody. Why not in a case it starts by rising above body consciousness? And the first step is there. How to withdraw from outside, how to rise above body consciousness, how to have a leap into the beyond, and what to do thereafter, do we not need anybody? It's a matter for common sense to decide. Now in the terminology of the saint, the word teacher, the word guru, the word master, these things are viewed there. They say without a guru nothing can be done, can be no problem. Now I have to dwell on this subject. Who is a guru? Who can guide us both ways in the worldly affairs too, and how to rise above body from the objective side into the subjective side? Rise above body consciousness to transcend into the beyond, and also guide us further in that place. So if we are to learn that teachings of the Master which they give, there must be somebody who is that way. So what the masters have been defining this word guru or teacher or master, I will quote you from different masters what they thought about it and what we are taking it to be. Guru Nanak was asked, who is your guru? And he said, Shabad is my guru. So what is Shabd? Shabd, God is a Shabd. God is wordless. When it came to being, it is called Shabd or word. The Shabd stands for the power, which God into special power, which is maker of all creation and controlling all creation and permeating all creation. So that power is the true Guru, which controls all universe, also controls us in the body. This is what Guru Nanak said. Then came up Kabir. He says, I have been sent from God to bring you back home. He does not say, I am God, I am the messenger. Prophet Muhammad also had to face the same thing. So all others, they say they are the messengers who know the way back to God and have been authorized to take you back home. So, 10th Guru was asked, who is your Guru? I simply quote this thing to you so that this word Guru or teacher or master, what does it stand for and what are his qualifications? He said, well, the one who existed before this world came into being, when he came to expression, that God into expression power is my Guru. He has quoted his previous birth also. Refer to previous birth. That place has been found even now. He says, I was there, past birth. I was so much absorbed in God and so much in that intoxication that I would not like to leave that place, and God ordered me to come to the world. I said, God, what will I do? Because my mind did not like to come up here. But I was ordered, then asked me what to do. He said, most of the people that I have sent to the world, they have only worshipped, God worshipped their own selves rather than me. Now Christ came, he always referred to the Father who has sent him. He said, I am the Son of God. That's right, I am sent by God, you see. Now Kabir also said, I am the messenger of God. Prophet Muhammad also said the same thing. He says, who I am? He says, I am the servant of God and servant of you all. I am sent here to see what is going on in the world below. So take me as your helper, as your, what you say, to help you way back to God. So I am sent by God. I am not the God. Then he gave very strong admonition, because that was the custom. You see, generally, we take those people who came here, they take as God. He says, whosoever tells me that I am God will go to hell. So that to avoid those people from misunderstanding that the people have got at last. So you will find that God into special power, which is controlling all universe, and controlling us in the body too, as I submitted yesterday. This is a wonderful house in which we live in. There are so many apertures in this body, but we cannot run away out of it. That keeps us controlled in the body. So body works so long as we are in the body. We leave this body only when that power leaves us. We withdraw. So we have to leave it. So, wherever that resides in every heart, but in which he is manifest, overflowing, he is called the Guru, he is called the Master. He will become the mouthpiece of that power working through him. As Guru Nanak says, I am the mouthpiece of God. Christ said, I am only carrying you what the Father has told you to do. Go back home. We do have respect for all these, you see. Who can unite us with God? Is there no father, no brother, no parents? But that God into expression power, where it is manifested, given a commission to bring back the children back to home, that is him addressed as a guru or a master. So for that reason, what is the criterion of such a man? He will only withdraw your soul, your attention of the soul from all outside and from the body below, bring it to the back of the eyes, which is the seat of the soul in the body, and there he will connect you with the God into his special power, the two phases of which is light and sound. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Who withdraw your attention from outside enables to hear that God into expression power which is sound peaceful going on in the world, which is music of the spheres, which is called Nada, which is called Kalame Kareem, who makes that sound audible to you, he is called a master. Paltu says, when you in the body from above who that withdraws your attention, soul from the body and gives you contact with that hearing of that nada, the voice of God, he is a guru. Then what brings you in contact of the sound? He says, open your inner ears to hear the sound principle reverberating in all creation, resembling like a bell. Now you see, in our outer worship, we light the candles, we ring the bells. In our churches, temples, mosques, they are made out of the metal of man body, and there they put in those symbols, two symbols of light and sound, to show that such like light and such like sound is reverberating within you. Withdraw your attention from outside and hear that sound coming from the heaven. That you cannot hear, that light you cannot see, unless you are withdrawn from outside and rise above body consciousness. The one who is competent to give you this context of the two aspects of the God into expression power is called the Guru. The word Guru means who removes the dark veil from your before your eyes and manifests the light of God. That light of God and sound has different stages. According to the densities of the planes beyond, there are so many mansions in the house of our Father. Just think for a moment what I am placing before you. What is the terminology of the saints means Guru or Master? So, all masters say like that. That's not only the thing what you should see. So Guru, what is it? He is the Word made flesh. It is a link between man and God. Who is competent to withdraw our attention, which is the outer expression of our soul, from all outside, from the body below, give a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness, and give you a contact with the light and sound principle within you, and you bear testimony that you see light. You bear testimony that the sound principle is going on. Who can do that? Then they shall tell us what? Don't believe in the words of a guru or a master unless you see for your own self. You bear testimony that they are like. They are something. So these are the things which are all masters saying. You know, Christ also said that I must work the work of him that has sent me. While it is day, the world marked the day. Day means alive. And the night cometh when no man can do anything. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Is that the word? St. John? Read it. I mean to say, to place before you, what the people are with in great misapprehension, what the word guru or master stands for. It is something who himself rises above body consciousness and makes you rise above it, gives a demonstration of it, and you bear testimony, you are not the body. You bear testimony, and these things are given in our scripture. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. These symbols are kept in the temples, churches, other holy places of worship, of the model of man body, that such like light is within you and such like sound is vibrating within you. So, the same has been said by all masters when they came in one social body or the other. Such like masters have been coming from time to time to guide the child humanity back to their father's home. Who is competent to raise our attention from all outside and raise us from the body below, open our inner eye, and we test you as there's light inside. That's the lowest grade, of course, but that will grow more and more as your eyes above plane. There are many mentions in the house of my father. Others say macrocosm is in the microcosm. So we have been given bodies to work in those planes. We are now working in the physical body. The light is covered by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 covers. You see, the light is not there, but as you shake out one cover, you see some light. If you shake the other cover, there's still more light. If all covers are shaken out, you see full light. Those who see the full light, he is called a khalsa, he is called a true sikh. Those who see that light, he is called the truly a Hindu. Those who see that light, that is truly called a Muslim. And those who see that light, they are called true Christians. Not by the outer labels that we are carrying of one religion or social body or the other. By joining that, it means we have joined certain school of thought to see the light of God. That school is charitable, it turns out many students like that successful. So all masters, they say the same thing. And that power never leaves us. That is called Christ power, God power, or Guru power, or Master power. That never leaves us till the end of the world. But so long that power works at the human pole, he guides all the child humanity. As I just quoted, they have to work when it is day, then have a night. When the night comes, nobody can work. So So I am so long as I am in the body, I am the light of the world. This is all as the Master said. So this generation goes on from posterity to posterity. That's the system of God, you see? This what you carry on. At one place, you remember, Christ said, well, I will send that Holy Ghost to guide you further later on in the world. So world made flesh is the Guru. You see? Who is conscious of that power working through him. He knows what has been given, what Christ and others say. He says, I am doing that work which God has told me, my Father has told me to do. They've got some plan before them. They see and then say. So this thing goes on, you see. Demand and supply in him goes on. One bulb is fueled, another is put on. Light is the same. That light, world made flesh, never leaves you. Here and hereafter too. So our masters tell us, all I take to the feet of somebody who is taught, who is a guru in that sense of the world. Not, we are also, you see, respect all those teachers who give us, at whose feet we do learn so many things out of. We have respect for them. But this is something which starts where the world flashes in. When you rise above what you say outgoing faculties, your mind is skinned. There are the religious are. Religion means freeness back leads you to bind. Like yoga. Yoga means to join your soul with God. God into special power mind that, not God as you. God is special power is the way back to absolute God. That has got two aspects, light and sound. If you catch, can ride on the ray of the sun, where will it lead you? Lead you to the ray from where sun, from where it emanated. So all Master says the world made flesh. I and my Father are one. The world was with God, and the world was God. All creation came into the world. And the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. All these are quoting from Bible and others too. What is Naam, or word, or kalma? Naam is a place, or Shabd is a place, from all this emanated, this creation of the world came into being. And when dissolution comes, this is just results into that, again new world begins. So that power is God world, or Naam, or Shabd. Who is the mouthpiece of that power? He is truly respecting. We can derive full benefit from him by his presence. Guru Amar Das, for 17 long years, after search for God, he came to the feet of such a master. He said, it is a very great fortune that I met with such a living master. Of course, it is a great blessing to have a living master. So, this is, what is the job, you see, generally? Kabir says, these men, two appear to be two. God, man, God in man, and that power, God in expression, in appearance they appear to be two, but the other is the mercy of the first one. So, all masters say like that. Mala Room says, the God sent us to the world. He came himself into the world, took the form of a man. He has sealed our eyes and ears there, so that may not see, and may not hear. Here he comes in the form of a man and takes up those seals from our eyes and our ears. This is what Christ also said, all the things. I have come to make those who do not see, see. These are the terms, you see, that can be understood when you are sit at the feet of some practicing master. The basic teachings of all has been the same. And when you meet such a master, he never leaves you. Here and hereafter.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of a talk entitled Man Know Thyself, which was given on October 9, 1972 in New York. The 1955 recording, known as Man Know Thyself, became the booklet with the same title. Our reader this morning is Eileen Picorni. Hello, Eileen.
Good morning, everyone. This morning we'll be reading birthday messages. These are located on the Ruhani Satsang website under Special Messages. The first one is the 1959 birthday message. Dear ones, on this day of my physical birthday, I wish you all happiness. Human birth is the highest rung of all creation. It is a rare blessing which you have got. This has been given to you for attaining divine realization and spiritual perfection. It is a supreme opportunity for striving and obtaining a sublime experience of all consciousness. It is to be utilized for this great purpose. The various religions and faiths are so many methods involved for fulfilling this great purpose for human life. This is the one common basis of all religions. You have been put on the way and given a conscious contact with the God power residing within you. You have to develop it by regular practice from day to day. To attain this goal, purify your nature by living a good life. Manifest truth, purity, love, selflessness, and righteousness in your life and activity. Give up all hatred, eradicate egotism and anger. Eschew violence, pledge yourself to love. Sincerely, humility, forgiveness, and non-violence. Abandon war. Abandon lust for power. Fill thy heart with compassion, mercy, and universal love. Let the law of love prevail amongst you, which should be radiated to all nations and races. Let true religions of heart be ruling factor of your lives. Love God, love all, serve all, and have respect for all, as God is immanent in every form. Preach the gospel of oneness. Spread the message of oneness and live a life of oneness. There will be peace on earth. This is the mission of my life, and I pray it may be fulfilled. With fondest love to all, Kirpal Singh. And now we'll be reading the 1960 birthday message. Time is an interminable eternity, with no beginning and no end. Except as man has, for his own convenience, in his own limitations, tried to limit it and make separate divisions out of it. With all these ruthless vivisections, eternity remains ever in love with the products of time and is willing to unfold the secrets of heaven and earth to him who reposes his trust and faith in her benignity. Birthdays are but arbitrarily milestones of life's journey on earth, but they do serve a very useful purpose all the same. As one crosses each division of time and steps into the other, he is reminded of a stage left behind and finds himself a step nearer to the journey's end. Each birthday, therefore, offers a splendid opportunity to the traveler to know where he stands, how he has fared on the path of life, what progress he has made, and what he intends to do with the new hopes, new aspirations, and new resolutions for the new year that lies ahead of him. It is an occasion for taking a comprehensive view of the stock in life gathered, already to be garnered thereafter, and it can, as such, be profitable, made use of up to the best advantage. On a day like this, I can only ask you, who have been put on the path Godwards, to turn within and see, each one for himself or herself, as to measure of advance made in spiritual field. Blessed indeed are those who have done so, and to them my message is that they should preserve in full faith and confidence in the master power overhead, and work hard to regain all the inheritance which is theirs, and of which they have a foretaste. To those who are yet standing still for one reason or another, I would commend some sort of active striving with will and purpose. After all, each one has to make an experiment on his own, and no one can vicariously do it for another. Again, there is no ill will without a remedy, and this sovereign and potent remedy is to be applied, whether we will it or not, by oneself, if we desire a cure. Or else the disease of ignorance shall continue to persist, and persist endlessly, as it is done, through ages upon ages. Last but not least, the door of salvation is open to all. It is not a prerogative for any one sect, caste, or creed, or even religious order. Whosoever may run can reach it. Knock, and it shall be opened unto thee, has been the message of saints and seers since the beginning of time. God is the God of all mankind, and his grace shines equally on all. But they alone who turn towards him derive the greatest benefit. Love is the master key that unlocks the door, leading to the kingdom of light. Love, and all things shall be added unto thee. This is a truth that has stood the test of time. It is therefore said, love God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy soul. My message today is none other than that of love. Learn ye, therefore, to love all creatures as yourself. Live in and for the love of all, and the love of love shall reward you manifold in return, for the sake of his own divine love. That is his law, eternal and immutable. Try to cultivate a loving faith in his goodness, and nothing shall stand in your way on the path. This is the only message that you can have from me on this occasion. I extend to you all my loving greetings with a soulful love and benediction. May you all rise and awaken in his consciousness. Kirpal Singh. And now we'll go on to the 1961 birthday message. Dear ones, I cross this day into my 67th year of my earthly pilgrimage. I am moving on to the goal of my life, just as a puppet in the hands of the Almighty, my Guru. My life has been woven in this one thought that there is no East and no West. The whole creation is the house of our Father. The various countries are so many rooms therein. The aeroplanes have annihilated all distance, and so called East and West are brothers and are children of the same Father. We are members of the one world brotherhood, of one cosmic community. The whole creation is sustained by God, who is not a distant deity, but closer is He than anything else. The Nam, the Sat Nam, the eternal word, is immanent in every form. He is in the poor, the rich, and the outcast. We are all brothers in God. World brotherhood is crying need of the day. True religion is the expression of divinity already existing in man. It is not rites or ceremonies, creeds or forms. It is life. It is the mingling of the soul with the great life. It's not shut up in temples, but in love for all. Love knows service and sacrifice. There is no place where God is not. You will not find Him in gorgeous temples made of marble and stone. You will find Him in the tears of the poor and the lost. True happiness lies in giving to others, not in self-seeking. We should not be worshipers of the gods of conventions. We should raise our moral aspirations to the highest extent and realize in our own self, God, who pervades throughout the universe by transcending limitation of the senses. Try to study the Book of Life, our very self. Let us be careful not to confront religions with creeds and forms. We should realize that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal, and that is the underlining unity of all religions. I see the waking ones are not awake. They are asleep inside on account of the outgoing faculties. With open eyes are many blind. They have eyes and see not the light of God, which ever shines, which filleth all. In heavens, earth, the waters and air, the source and strength of all that is. If thou develop the power of seeing, be one-eyed, lose the sight of the senses. If thine eyne be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. They have ears, but hear not the enchanting, sweet melody of life reverberating throughout all creation. If thou grow in power of hearing, then be deaf to the world. You will hear when thine ear is closed to the noises of the world. Thou will hear the music of the spheres, the flute of the Lord. If thou would like to have true knowledge, transcend the sense knowledge. Enter the inner silence, and the same will become vocal. With longing in thine eyes, enter thou within from without. It is in truth the central message of every true master. In thy own house you will see him. Therefore, I would request you to gaze, and gaze with a longing in your heart, with silence in your soul, and with no thought of this world or the next. The grace of God will descend on you, and the gaze will grow into a glimpse, and he will reveal himself to you, and you will find, nay, see him within yourself. O thou, the immaculate Nam, thou illuminest my life, and thy life overfloweth my frail physical life. May thou accept me, The mission of my life is to help others to rise above body consciousness and have a glimpse of the Lord with the grace of my Master. Those who have been put on the way should go on in all earnestness to reach their goal, and others who will be led by God to come up to me will be put on the way. With all the love and best wishes to each one of you, February 6, 1961, Kirpal Singh. And now we will be going to Spiritual Elixir in Book 2, Chapter 16, Guru, His Need and Functions, Master Power. In these days of multiplicity of masters, where it is difficult for a common man to distinguish between right and wrong, it seems necessary to give some broad hints to discriminate the correct thing. To know and judge a perfect master is difficult. A person living on the seventh floor of a building can only be seen and judged by another on the same floor. If one gets within and sees for oneself the grandeur and the grace of the master working and how he is helping humanity, one may to some extent understand him. This will give one a first-hand conviction, but until such a time as this is achieved, one may use the criteria given by the previous masters, as it is briefly given here, and may be kept in view when arriving at a decision. Number one, the master should not depend for his personal needs on the charity or the donations of the disciples, but live on his own honest earning. Number two, he should be competent and able to open the inner eye and grant some experience at the first sitting of the godly light and sound within, to be developed from day to day under his guidance. Number three, he should act in his physical life as a man to man, realizing and appreciating the difficulties, pains, and pleasures of the people, suggesting remedies in accordance with the rules of the physical plane and in the higher planes according to the rules in the higher planes. And number four, he would ordinarily shun pompous demonstrations and would not like false propaganda to make mountains out of molehills to the people. I sat at the feet of my master for over 24 years and imbibed in the truth of the way to God with his favor and grace. It is all his grace that he vouchsafes this duty to me just before leaving his body. Through his favor, all those coming in search of truth are having a first-hand experience at the very outset, and as such they are convinced and need no further evidence. We are all on the way. Some are less ready and others more so due to their karmic evolution of experience in past lives. Those who have sat at the feet of Master Sawan Singh need not worry. They have a competent master overhead. We are to remain devoted to him and go within to find him. The way to go within has been given to us. We have now simply to invert to see him. We are unworthy sons of Master, but his grace is working in all fullness. Our physical life is destined by the Almighty, and each one of us must play our role as allotted. I have no choice in the matter. It all depends on Master Power working overhead. I am a puppet in his hands and a flute through which he has to play. I wish you to make the best use of the golden opportunity of the present life you have been allotted by gaining self-knowledge and God-knowledge here while on this earth. Without a God-man, the mystery of the soul is never revealed. It remains a sealed book. The ascent of the soul to the higher regions is impossible unless one is ushered into those planes. Of course, one may be able to withdraw the spirit current within the eyes from the body through Cimarron or see some light at times, but there is nothing there to take or guide him upwards. Many were held in these elementary stages for ages and ages, and no help came to guide them up. Some have called this stage the be-all and end-all, but they still linger on the outskirts of grosser matter and in the stronghold of the finer matter. It is here that the help of some competent body is needed to extradite these devotees from the iron hold of the subtle matter. That somebody should be the man who has gone through the different stages of spiritual development and traveled to the region of pure spirit, the Satnam, far beyond the hold of matter. Man needs man to bring him understanding, and so Asant is the high one in the guise of man to whom those longing for him may approach. The unseen Almighty has his own law in this respect. Thus the Sant is God plus man. He is the mouthpiece of God, or if anyone is pleased to accept it, he is the God in person, or personified God. He is the most sacred, personal God, invested with all powers and authority, and he is the living altar to whom man may pray and seek a solution of his problems from birth to death and after. He is the only source within the reach of man through which he can unite himself with God. Every word, every look, every move, every touch, even the aura of a saint, is endowed with mercy, love, and the grace of God. The atmosphere about him is charged. The Master acts as a lodestar in all spiritual endeavors. He extends all feasible help to the disciple with distortions both within and without, and always keeps him steady on the right path. Distance does not stand in his way. The Master's helping hand goes to the disciple far and near. In the burning desert sands, on the snow-capped mountains' tops, and in the dreary wilderness, he exercises a healthy and corrective influence on the spiritual aspirants by releasing forces within his field of influence, like a mighty lodestar that holds marvelous attraction within its magnetic field. The Master is a mouthpiece of God. He is the pole at which God manifests his Godhood. He may be likened to a switch which has in the concentrated energy of the powerhouse. Sant, the Master, may seem an ordinary man to all external appearances. He is, however, a great deal more. He is a perfect man with the experience of outer and inner life. Outside experiences differ in various countries, but inner experience never. He may be defined as one brimming with spirituality and above the life of the senses. He has freed himself from various sheaths of grosser and finer matter, and he has seen the all-truthful with his spiritual eye. He is competent to develop the spiritual possibilities lying dormant in man. He is charged by God himself with the magnetic force. He is the mouthpiece of the eternal. He has in him the refulgent light of the infinite, and he is competent to light the lamps of others. It is good that meditation is sweet to you and that you long to sit for hours. Have no anxiety. Repose all your hopes in the Master and devote time regularly to meditation with faith, love, and accuracy. You will have day-to-day progress. The Master Power overhead is constantly working within you for your benefit. His protective hands will shadow you from all kinds of dreadful perils. Follow him. He will never forsake thee and will take you to his kingdom of glory forever. The Master is one with the Christ power and radiates the light of God through the human pole chosen by the Lord. The Master does not need the love of the disciples. He has the love of God and is God incarnate. The true Master would not attach the disciple to himself, but to the Christ power working in him. Christ said, "Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son, and all others to whom the Son reveals." All masters agree on this point. There are no exceptions to it, and one should not be led away by the statements of others. This is nature's gift and is given free by Master like all other gifts of nature. Don't worry as to what may or may not happen in the near or distant future. The Master always shields his children suitably. Be unperturbed and carry on with your job. Your road is quite straight and clear. Proceed on with the loving grace of the Master. Now, being away might make you feel more lonely, but remember, you will not be alone, as the Master Power is always with you. It will be more so then. So with a well-balanced mind, free of all that fear, analyze for yourself as to what you really want. It took me 5 to 6 hours daily for 7 days of hard thinking to find out what exactly I wanted to do in my life. After I had decided what to do, I went in search of a Master who would give me the truth. And when I found him and had accepted him as such, I gave myself up to him to do as he willed. After that, I lost all interest for self in the world, but I perform all worldly duties and matters with all sincerity. Sant or Master is above the 3 gunas. He is selfless and reveals the truth only. A true Master is a lighthouse to the world. It is a rare privilege to find one. The real ones, like wrestlers, are not made in a day, nor are they made from inner university. They have the experience of several past lives. Every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Saints are experienced personalities. They have analyzed themselves and they have realized God, and thus they may help to put man on the same path. My time is up for today. We were reading 3 birthing messages, 1959, 60, and 61, which are located on the Ruhani Satsang website under Special Messages. And we continue to read Spiritual Elixir, Book 2, Chapter 16. Thank you, Master, for this blessed satsang.
And thank you, Eileen, for reading Master's gracious, beautiful words. There were 74 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for bringing us together to strengthen our bonds of devotion to you.
The birth anniversary of a great man means for us to tread the path of the truth as explained by him, to follow the teachings in their right perspective and digest them in our own lives.